We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Run It Back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Run It Back on Kansas City Sports Network. Y'all, I'm upset. Y'all, I'm sad. I'm distraught. What I feared has happened. The amazing, wonderful, well-deserved season that our K-State women's basketball had this year, going at a record of, I want to say, what, 26-8. It's a damn good season, One of the best seasons we've had in school history, or at least in a very, very long time. And what I feared happened, it ended with nothing to show for it. No Big 12 regular season championship. No Big 12 tournament championship. No Sweet 16. No. The highlight in the postseason is that we got to host, which was wonderful. Didn't get a chance to go just because my work schedule has no room for me to alter things at the moment because I'm too new. Crowds were great. I heard they were. I heard every single fan screaming on the television just like I wanted, just like I hoped. Look what I hoped for. Damn. That hurt. That really hurt. Season has come to a close for our K-State women's basketball team. Losing to former and future Big 12 foe, Colorado. 4 seed against the 5 seed. Colorado was the 5 seed. They came to Manhattan and they handled their business. Congratulations to them. K-State, we didn't handle our business, unfortunately. But at least they were able to go out with a sold out crowd. I am happy for that. First sellout of the season for K-State women's basketball. We love that. We wish it's not, hopefully it's not the last time that happens. But damn. This one hurt. And I know no one is more disappointed than the players, or no one on that team is probably more disappointed than Yoki herself, or not Yoki, than Gabby Gregory herself. Because I know she put her whole heart into this program for the 2 years that she was here. Gosh, I would have loved to see her start to finish at K-State. But of course, you know, everyone's path is different. Hers started at Oklahoma and it ended at K-State, and she says she wouldn't have it any other way. We're gonna miss Gabby. We are gonna miss Gabby so much because she left it all out there. She really, really did. But man, I hate that it had to end like this. I really do. K-State losing by 13 to Colorado at home. 50-63. Holy damn. I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to say damn in this broadcast, but it's going to be a lot. Because damn. This one hurt. This one really hurt. But unfortunately, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. You know, that doesn't numb my pain any more than it should, but I will, but I'm not surprised. Unfortunately, this was not the same team that started off this season. This was not the same team that beat Iowa in Iowa City. This was not the same team that would just be sending teams packing, just kicking them out the gym when it comes to, you know, their offensive and defensive prowess. Even though we knew offense wasn't going to be a strength early on in the season, we knew that. We've been knew that. But their defense, whew. When I tell you that at some point this season they were the best damn defensive team in the country, I meant it. I meant it. Because what they put out on the floor backed it up at that time. No doubts. No doubts whatsoever. But second half of the season, things went awry. They were still able to win games, and we love that. But they were still able to win games, so there's not a thing I myself personally can complain too much about, because they were still able to win. Because at the end of the day, win, baby, win. You know what I mean? But this wasn't the same team, man. This wasn't the same team who was taking it to Caitlin Clark earlier on in the season. It wasn't them. It wasn't the same team. And I know, obviously, that started when Yoki broke a bone in her foot, I think, at that practice, just when we were supposed to play TCU, I think. It might have been just after that game, but that whole weird thing with TCU happened, and that game was a forfeit, whatever. But when that stretch where Yoki had to have surgery on her foot, and the Cats had to manage some things without her. And how I foolishly thought, you know, things would be different when she came back. Yoki didn't seem like herself in that game against Colorado. And I understand Colorado was playing her very, very well. They were playing her very, very well. But this just seemed like one of the games where she didn't seem as healthy as she was, at least in previous games. And, you know, I know she hasn't been 100% healthy, especially after that surgery that she had midseason. She wasn't 100% healthy. We've been known this. But in that game, it just seemed like she definitely wasn't as healthy. I don't know if it was on the earlier on in the game or what. And obviously, she's an absolute warrior. She's been playing through pain the majority of her college career, right? So I know she's tough as hell. But it just seemed like she wasn't fully healthy in this game. And she might not have been. Or she could have been the healthiest she's felt in weeks. We don't know. But I just seem like one of her strengths were positioning. One of her strengths in general is just how she's able to get positions on other players in the paint. She's just like big body in them, move out the way, and she draws a lot of fouls doing that. She gets sent to the line so much on her trying to get position, and the girls she's trying to box out or trying to get position on, they just can't handle her. They just can't handle her. And it just seemed like she wasn't able to get a lot of good positioning. How they were playing her up. Once again, you got to give a huge shout out. I want to make sure I get her name correctly, from Colorado. Her name is Aaronette Van Lake, number 21 for Colorado. She did very, very well on Yoki. She had 7 steals, for Christ's sake. 7 steals. But all 7 of those steals, I want to say, is because Yoki was not able to get positioned like she normally would. She didn't seem like she had that specific strength that we've seen her even just a few games ago, right? Even though Van Lee, once again, very good defense on Yoki, very good defense. I'm not taking away what she did at all. But the reach around to kind of like get those steals or deflect the ball to turn into so many turnovers, I feel like that was called at least 90% of the season. I just want to say. The refs are letting a lot of things go. I'm not blaming this loss on the refs solely, because you can't control that. You really can't control that, what the refs are going to call or not going to call. But the reach around, the deflections when Yoki's trying to get position, a lot of the times that was always called. At least 90% of the time throughout the season, that was a call. But you know, Colorado was able to reach a lot, and the refs were letting them do it. They were letting them play. Can't complain. The refs are trying to let somebody play instead of just calling it super duper tight. Okay, honestly, I feel like every one of us can agree on that. That we rather just let the players play than every single thing to be called, right? And it just seemed like Yoki still wasn't able to, you know, fight for that positioning like we normally see her do, just leading to Van Lee reaching around her and knocking those passes and causing the turnovers. So I'm like, man, we're like, don't know if anything would have been different. And it just seems like that time, that stretch when Yoki was hurt and how they might have rushed her back in. And I'm a culprit. I'll be like, man, as soon as she comes back, that game against Iowa State, everything will be back to normal. Yada, yada, yada. I was foolish to think that. And I think in hindsight, her coming back as soon as it did, or at least her waiting at least a few more games and not coming back right at that Iowa State game in Ames, it wouldn't have made any difference, really. I mean, they still, if they would have waited any longer, they still probably wouldn't have won the Big 12, wouldn't have won the Big 12 tournament. At that point, maybe they might not have been able to host. But, I mean, could you have gotten a healthier Yoki later on in the season and things might have changed? Maybe. Maybe. But hindsight, maybe she might have been rushed coming back. A lot of me included was just impatient. I'm like, man, K-State is winning, but they're struggling. When Yoki comes back, everything will be all the same. They'll be the once dominant team that they were before. I was foolish to think that. Truly was. Truly, truly foolish to think that. And that's on me. That's on me. But hindsight's always 20/20. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Maybe this was a time that might have let Yoki stay out at least a few more games before that February 14th target date after she had that surgery. But what can you do? At this point, can't do a damn thing because it is what that is. But it was tough, man. It was a tough game. I was able to watch the first half at home in the comfort of my own room because I had to go to work at 2:00. They played at 1:00. I was hype in the first half. Serena Sundell playing kind of outside her mind a little bit. She had a 4-point play, and then she hit, like, passed the ball off of a Colorado player back into, and then got it into the hoop and a layup in the final seconds before halftime. I'm like, Serena, what are you on? What are you on? Because I never seen you do anything like that. And that's what, and I left for work, you know, like, okay, we might be in a little bit of a good position. Then I got to work, missed a majority of the third quarter, but I was sneaking and watching it on my phone while I was at my desk, and things was going awry. Is what we knew was an issue, like I said before, how offense, we knew offense was going to be an issue, especially at the start of the season. But offensively, man, they just haven't been able to get it together on a consistent base the last several games, unfortunately. And defense was always there. I know I've said it before, and I'll say it again, is that when your offense don't show up, but maybe that defense does, you'll be okay, right? We've seen the defense lock some people up. Be like, your shots won't go in, but if that defense travels, you will still find ways to win games. And I still believe that, but it was at this time where defense, still good, but not as strong as it once was at the beginning of the season. There's times like, man, some offense would really help here. And it just caught up with us. K-State was not able to make a basket, seems like, in the entire second half against Colorado, and that was just their downfall. They've still played really good defense, but because they couldn't make a basket. And we'll get into more of those stats coming up after this break. But first and foremost, even though I know it's a sad time, home field apparel, I think, might make you feel a little bit better. I think it might make me feel a little better because I'm still love K-State. I'm a ride with this team till the wheels fall off and then some. Okay, so I think I might get me a new K-State t-shirt from home field apparel. And honestly, I think y'all should too. And if you don't like K-State, don't care. Get you a shirt. You have another friend that likes K-State or doesn't. Get them a shirt. Do whatever. Hats, t-shirts, gloves. I don't even know if they have gloves, but if they do, go ahead and get one. Because home field apparel is where you want to go at homefieldapparel.com. And we'll be right back on Run It Back.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster.
Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Run It Back. Before that brief break that we took, just talking, just getting it all just off my chest, just how disappointing that loss was against Colorado. The second round at home, hosting. Just good season with nothing to show for it. Like I feared several weeks ago that I'd be damned if they had nothing to show for it. And look where we are now. Nothing to show for it. But it's just one of those things you just gotta keep it pushing. You just gotta keep it pushing. Before we do, they had a really strong first half. They ended the first half really, really strong. And I know I'm gonna read off a few stats. It just the first half was in very, very strong. Especially when I was talking about Serena Sundell. She was on one, she was going crazy. I think she ended the first half with 9 points. Gabby Gregory, she was on one. She started off hot. She started the game off with 9 points as well. And then Yoki, she had a couple baskets in there. Once again, forcing a lot of turnovers. Colorado was with that, with the VanVleet, you know, that reach around that they were letting them do. But it was that second half, man. It was that second half where everything just seemed to go awry. Because I think they scored what? Like, maybe 15, 20 points in the second half. That's it. Maybe that was it. They shot 20% in the third quarter, 3 for 15. They shot 3 for 12 in the fourth quarter, 25% from the field. They were 1 for 11 from 3 in that second half. In the second quarter, that's when things was looking real smooth. They were up 9. They hit 4 of 6 three-pointers in that second quarter. You had Terrence Sides. She started off a 9-0 run for us by hitting the 3 at the top of key. It was, things were looking smooth. Colorado made a run. That's just what the game of basketball is. It's a game of runs. They ended this second quarter strong. Serena Sundell. That pretty much like ballpark type of, like concrete basketball type of move of her throwing it inbound off the Colorado player and taking it for a layup, right? But damn, it's just this offense, the struggles of this offense, it caught up with them. it caught up with them. And we knew this. We've been knowing this for weeks, unfortunately. But it was just not doing it. They just couldn't buy a bucket. It's not like they didn't have looks. We know this. They had the looks. It's just sometimes the lid is on the basket. And they just couldn't take it off. Just mad disappointment. Offense this season is just, it's not been great. They've averaged 71 points a game, which is still good, but it's like middle of the pack in the Big 12. Not great. They were 11th in the Big 12 in three-point percentage with 31.4. Can't even get me started on the free throws, man. Free throws were what? They were 5 for 10 in their free throws against Colorado. It's the 13-point game. We understand that. But if they made all 100% of their free throws at the end of the day, it probably would not have mattered. But in issues in these last, say, the last month of the season, essentially, pretty much almost the entire month of February, for sure. All those close games that should have been close if they probably made their free throws. It's just one of those things where, like, free throws wasn't great last season. I think I talked about that at the very start of the season. Things that I think would get better with Jokic coming back. One of them was free throws. Unfortunately, their free throw percentage as a team was horrid this season. 68.7 as a team, man. They are 13th in the Big 12 in free throw percentage, and that was the reason they lost some games. They would have put a lot of other teams away if they would have made their free throws. I think what UCF comes to mind when they were at home, and it ended up having to be a game winner, I think, in that game against UCF, a team that we absolutely mollywopped in Orlando. One of those days, it's just like didn't make their free throws. And I know Iowa State and Ames, that game would have been put away in regulation if they made their free throws at the end of it, but coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's all coulda, woulda, shoulda. I get that. I understand that. Ain't nothing you can do about that now. They were 12th in the Big 12 in offensive rebounds. One of those things that I also circled that they would be better at with Jokic's presence, with Jokic coming back. And I understand Jokic missed half of the season. So yeah, that still takes into account of it. Of course. I'm not dumb to it. But I know Coach Mitty has some work still cut out for him next season. I know there's a lot of people calling for Coach Mitty's head. I'm not one of those people. I'm not. A lot of people get even more emotional than I am. They just all of a sudden just calling for people's jobs. It ain't like that. You don't have the best season in a long time in K-State history and then just call for the coach's job just because they didn't make it past the second round. That is, to me, that's just not how that works. You have to have a lot of those in a row for that to happen. But still, you win 26 games every year. And that's not going to make a lot of people upset. All right. Even though if he continues to do that from seasons on out, that'd be great. He ain't going nowhere. He even signed a contract, last summer. He's not going anywhere, and he shouldn't. Because even though this season ended in disappointment, this season should not be taken for granted for. It was still a great season. I know offense wasn't this team's strong suit, but maybe that defense, that gap goat, once again, people were saying, they focus too much on the damn mascot, then yada, yada, yada. Everyone loved that damn mascot. Stop playing with yourself, all right? Everyone loved that damn mascot, and it works. It did work. Their defense, best in the Big 12, one of the best in the country, all right? That's not the issue. There's a lot of things that Coach Mitty's going to be able to build on for next season. And I know a lot of that's going to determine if Jokic comes back. God, Jokic, please come back. I don't know if she will. She might not know if she will or not. She said to stay tuned. We'll see. Jokic, please come back, but I understand if you don't come back, because she's given all she's gotten to give. She's given so much to this team, and who knows, she might not even have another season in. I don't think this is an issue where she would enter the transfer portal and go somewhere else, even though I think she could play at any team in the country and they would gladly pick her up. I don't get that vibe that she would transfer, even though, like I said, I don't know what's in her head, so maybe she could, but I don't get that vibe from her. But I get the vibe she might just hang it up after this. Don't know where she is health-wise. She's given so much to this game. She played a majority of her college career on a bad knee, and as soon as she got that surgery, she was feeling good. But then halfway through the season, she needed another surgery on her foot. So who knows? Maybe she don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't know. I don't know where she's at in her decision. But I would love it love it if she came back, because I feel like even after a year like this, only place you can go to is still up, because you have Serena Sundell as a senior. You have the Glenn twins seniors coming in. Zianna Walker, I feel like she's going to be a starter. She's not going to be that exact role that Gabby Gregory was in, just because I feel like she's one of one, Gabby is, but I would have loved to see more of Zianna, especially the second half of the season, because she's got that skill set. So I think she has the potential to be a starter next year. I really think she will be. And if Yoki comes back, I'm telling you, when Yoki's on the floor, I think anything is possible. So if she's able to come back, please do. We would love it if you come back, but I understand if you don't, if you decide not to. I really, really do. You've given this program so damn much, and it's going to be a very, very long time before anyone else even comes close to what you've brought to this program. Yep. It's going to be a very, very long time. Your jersey should have been retired yesterday. I don't think it's ever happened where an active player has had their jersey retired. Probably it will never happen. I don't even know if that's even in the rule book. But if there was any active player in K-State history right now that's going to get her jersey retired, it would be Yoki. And it would be Yoki. And we would love that. Even if she decides to even play somewhere else. Who knows? But that's what she deserves. And I know she's going to get that. She's going to get number 50 is going to be retired. We know this. We've talked about it before. It deserves to be retired. Whether she comes back or not, don't care. She's going in the Raptors. And she will stay in the Raptors till the end of time. All right? And that's because that's exactly what she deserves, man. So, love it if she came back, because this team, like, you thought this was a good season this year. You have everybody running it back next year. That's when I think, and especially when they learn from their mistakes, knowing that, like, okay, we started number two in the country this time. What went wrong? What went wrong between this time and that time? What went wrong between this game and that game? Everyone's going to learn from this experience, from what they had. They learned from the last season experience when they, you know, wasn't the season they wanted. They went 0-11 on the road, but they were able to go to the WNIT and still kind of make a little bit of noise. They made it to the third round of the NIT. They ended the season very, very strong, and that carried over into this season and where they were and where they started and where I still think they can be. And I think it's going to be even more exceptional next year, especially if Yoki decides to come back. If she doesn't decide to come back, then that's okay. That's just, I trust Coach Mitty that he's going to be able to bring somebody in that I'm not going to say replace Yoki, because there is no replacing Yoki. I had that whole soliloquy on my soapbox talking about how special she is to this program. You're not going to replace Yoki, just like how you weren't going to replace Marquise Noel for the men's side. They're one of one. They're individuals that are one of one. So the best you can do is find somebody else to get in there and they're going to play within themselves. They're going to let the game come to them. No one's going to ask them to be Yoki, because that would be unfair. But I have faith that Coach Mitty might try to find somebody to put in the post, and they're going to let it ride. They're going to let it rock. I truly, truly believe that. Because this was a learning experience from everybody, top to bottom, coaching staff, to the walk-ons, the managers. This entire season, to me, was not a failure. You know, I hate that they had nothing physically to show for it. It wasn't a failure. It wasn't a failure at all. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden be a top program in the country. That takes time. And if they can show that consistency, if Coach Mitty can find that consistency and keep this train moving, have other recruits come in, bring all these others, like, top quality players, and he started when you had Serena Sundell and you had them playing young, you had the Glenn twins, you had them playing starting from the freshman all the way up to now. They are the reasons that this team was so damn good this year. When you can develop players like that, because that is visually, you love to see a player start from the bottom and right up there. That's where this team was, every single last one of them. They stayed, they grinded, and this is what they had to show for it. An incredible season, and I don't think they're done yet. They're not done yet. So I understand that this season ended, they were disappointed. We were all disappointed. That's just, unfortunately, that's just how life goes. That's how this sport is. That's how every sport is. It hurts. It hurts when you lose. It hurts when you were this close to accomplishing something so great, especially in school history. but this will not be the last opportunity. I really believe that. This will not be their final opportunity. And I really hate that it had to end like this for Gabby. She put her whole heart and soul into these 2 years that she was here. And I'm glad that she made the decision to come back this season. And you hate that it had to end for her here, but she's cemented something that will be left, you know, for future players. For even players that are still on the team. I think she's been a lot for a lot of the younger players, even the players that are, even like the Gwen twins, Serena Sundell. I feel like they probably learned a lot from her. And we've loved that she's been here. The mother of the Gap Goat. I feel like that Gap Goat is not going away. That's going to stay a mascot at Kansas State. And I hope so. I hope someone goes overboard and brings a goat to a game. That's what I want. I want that. I want those type of extremes. Just because that's what Gabby did here. Or at least one of the several things that Gabby did here. All right. So I know it's disappointing. And I feel like I completely changed tunes from where I started this podcast to where I'm finishing it. But it's not the end. It's not the end. I don't think they're just going to revert back to being a pumpkin. They never were a pumpkin in my eyes. They never were. So we're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. Coach Mee ain't going anywhere. And he shouldn't. And if Yoki decides to come back, everybody hold on to your butts. Because this team had a taste of what this season could have been and how it could have ended. And how would you not want that taste again? It feels like that's a different type of motivation. In a defense that where they are just dogs, where they all have that dog in them on defense, and how that can get better next season, especially once they had that taste of some type of success like they did this season. Oh, yeah. They're going to be some problems for a lot of people. They're going to be some problems for a lot of people. And I, for one, cannot wait to see it. But y'all, I appreciate y'all for listening to me rant, for listening to my roller coaster of emotions from the March, right, for the March Madness ending in no better place than Manhattan, Kansas. So, baseball season has started. Next week, we're going to be talking all kinds of baseball, and can't wait to get in with that with y'all. So I appreciate y'all for listening. See y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.